About this morning, the bracha that we say on Shabbos candles when we light, okay? We know that that when you light candles for Shabbos, you have to say a bracha, and not just a woman. If a man is lighting, he has to say the bracha properly. He has to say the bracha too if he's lighting. If a woman is away, let's say, in a family, or if you're single, which we need to talk about, halacha l'maisa. Okay? So the Makaber writes in Chol Shabbos, I think it's Simon Reish Sarach Dalet Sifhei, that when we light Shabbos candles, both men and women recite the bracha v'hadlik nir shel Shabbos. That's the nusach ha-bracha, v'hadlik nir shel Shabbos. From the Makaber, it is evident that a woman should recite the bracha before lighting the candles, just like any other mitzvah, where there's the famous klal of kol mitzvah kulon nevarach alein over lasiyasim. We say the bracha preceding the action. So the way that Machaber presents it, it seems like you would say Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekhemachon Shem Tazal, Nishol Shabbos, and then light. That's what it would seem from the Machaber. This is also the way the Yalkut Yosef, who's the son of Rabbi Avadia, all his sons were our great Talmid Chachamim, I'm not sure which one it is. Was Yaakov Yosef, I think? What'd you say? He's the chief rabbi.
He's the first part of chief rabbi.
Yeah, okay. So this is how the Yaakov Yosef's pasta, the bracha needs to be recited before the lighting of the candle. So I would imagine we'll get to it. Sephardic women will say the bracha of Lahavit Neshal Shabbos before they actually light. This is the Shita of the Makaber. Now, there's a big problem here, says the Ramah. The Ramah argues on the Makaber and says the minhag is to recite the bracha after lighting the candles. Why? Because if you recite the bracha of Asher Kitchanu Mitzvah V'Hadlik Nir Shel Shabbos, you've accepted Shabbos, says the Ramah. So if you accept the Shabbos and you go ahead and light the candles, you're being Mechal Shabbos. So the Ramah says this cannot be the classic bracha of Overlas Yasa. It cannot. And therefore, the minig is that Lamaisa, you have to do something different here. And therefore, what you do is follows. This is what the Ramah writes, the morning you throw. He says, the woman or the man, whoever's light, should light the candles, cover the candles with her hand, some cover their eyes, making sure they do not get any hanach from the light, then recite the bracha, and then immediately look at the candles to benefit from them. In such a fashion, the bracha is considered to be also over lasiyasim, because the bracha was recited before she benefited from the light of the candles. The bracha must always precede the action. In this case, you have this conundrum, what are you going to do? So what you do is you cover your eyes, or you cover the candles right after lighting, you don't get any hanah, then you say the bracha, and then you remove your hands from your eyes or from the candles, and get hanah, and that is the action. And then you work Mechal Shabbos at all. This is in Siman Reish Samach Dalet, I believe it is, Sifhei, to check the Siman in Hilchos Shabbos. But it's Gefeirush. According to the Ramah, and this comes out very good, in such a fashion the bracha is considered over lasiyasim because the bracha was recited before she benefited from the light of the candles. According to the Ramah, a woman should only begin the tefillah that accompanies Hadlakas Neiris. You know, there's a special tefillah. You know, the great musician Baruch Levin made that famous, right? I don't think it was new. Anyone, I don't know how many people knew it. At least no men knew it, I don't think. You know, Zakeini, that beautiful song that he made, Zakeini. So he's a Rebbe in Waterbury, she's in grade school. So I'm sure before him, I don't know, I don't think too many men knew that song. Women probably said it. But that tefillah that women say on behalf of their husband and kids should only begin the tefillah that accompanies the halakas after she looks at the candles. says she begins to daven before looking at the candles. She's being mafsi between the bracha and the action of benefiting from the candles. First thing she should do is get benefit from the candles. Then say the tefillah of Zakeini after that. Don't say the bracha, then say Zakeini, and then move your hands and get hung up. That would create a hefzer. Okay? Halacha l'maaseh. Many women are not careful about this and keep their eyes closed from the time they recite the bracha until after the tefillah. That's not right. They should say, they should light the candles, cover it quickly, then say the bracha, then remove their hands, get hana, and then say afterwards the tefillah. Okay? It's like a lot of times in Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned at the beginning of the year, when you do all the simanim, you say ha'eitz, then you eat the fruit, and then you say the yiratzon. You don't say ha'eitz, then the yiratzon, and then eat. That would make it a hefzer. Okay? Alright. There was a great gadol who lived in Memphis, Tennessee, named Rebbe Chaim Greenblatt. The Rebbe of Ephraim writes that since many women have the minig to light several candles and cannot physically cover all the candles with their hands, the minig has become to cover their eyes instead of the candles. Let's say my wife lights seven candles. She can't go like this on all seven candles. I guess she could with both hands, but I don't know if it's going to cover Yeah, but the best bet is to cover your eyes. And that's how that developed. It's interesting because the way it's presented here is that you put your hand on the candles. Why is everyone covering their eyes? Because sometimes you can't cover all the candles. So you cover your eyes, and that deflects the fact you can't get any unknown. Okay, so based on what we just learned, Svardin will usually follow the Mechaber and Yafi Yosef, should recite the Bracha and the light, while Ashkenazim, who usually follow their law, should light and then recite the Bracha. What happens if a Sephardi accidentally begins to light without reciting a bracha, or an Ashkenazi accidentally recites the bracha before lighting? What do you do? The Yalki Yosef paskins that in the first case, the Gabi Sephardim doing what Ashkenazi did, where a woman mistakenly lighting the candles without reciting the bracha, she may no longer recite the bracha. If you are a Sephardi woman and you messed up, according to your sheet, and you lit first, done. You don't say the bracha anymore. She may no longer recite the bracha, even if she blows out the candles and lights them. You're done. Or if she remembered in the middle of lighting the candles, she should recite a bracha before lighting the remaining candles. Reb Shlomo Zalman quoted in Shmir Shabbos passage that if an Ashkenazi recites the bracha before lighting the candles, what do you do? So at first glance, I would think she shouldn't do it, because why? She'll be Michal Shabbos, no? He says, no, she should still light all the candles, because if she doesn't, her bracha will be Levatala. Additionally, since she intended on lighting the candles, it is clear that she did not want to accept Shabbos when reciting the bracha, because she didn't light yet, so it won't be Michal Shabbos. That's the svar of the svarim in general, that when you recite the bracha, you're not going to be Michal Shabbos and light the candles. Because it's self-understood that I'm not accepting Shabbos when I recite the bracha. Ashkenazim are not comfortable with that. Ashkenazim are not comfortable with that, that if you say a bracha, you're not a Michal Shabbos. The svarim hold it simplistic, no problem. You're not a Michal Shabbos. Ashkenazim are more worried about it. But in the b'dyavad situation, if you said the bracha, go ahead and light. Yes, Asher. Ideally, if they forget and they recite the bracha, no problem, they can go ahead and light the candles. And that's not Makal Shabbos, because we assume implicitly we're not Makal Shabbos in this b'dyavad way. In general, ideally, we don't do that. Okay? Very good. Now, however, if a woman begins to light candles and makes a bracha in the middle, where she finishes lighting all of this, it seems that she should drop the match and not light any more candles. Why is that? The reason for this is because she's already lit a candle, and therefore fulfilled her obligation of lighting Shabbos candles. Why are you doing more? As a result, once she recites the bracha, you're done. She's accepted Shabbos, and that's it. So if you do not light, do not see the bracha before you lit the candles, you see the bracha in the middle, don't light anymore, drop the match, it'll go out by itself. Hopefully, if it's a funnel, obviously, you know, doing the machinery, you get it in a few minutes. Okay, now, yes, Nate.
What happens with a Sephardic woman if the light goes out, how should they do the bracha?
A Sephardic woman, if the light goes out, you mean not in the ideal case, because ideally they hold to say the bracha and then light. Sephardim hold to say the bracha and then the light. Not like we do.
No, yeah.
You're talking the Vivian situation?
The Ashkenazi woman, yeah.
Ashkenazi woman.
Yeah, she lights.
In the ideal way or the Vivian way?
Ideal way. She lights.
In the ideal way, she lights and then closes her eyes and then says the bracha.
That's when the candles go out as she's making the bracha.
It's when the candles go out as she's saying the bracha. All of them went out.
Yeah. Is it a bracha on the cross though? So she did the action of lighting it beforehand, it's on her.
She lit the candles and then she said the bracha.
So she didn't see the candles.
She didn't
candles.
Get her nod on them yet. Yeah.
But she did light them.
Right. And she hasn't said the bracha yet? Or she did?
She did.
She did say the bracha and they all went out? So, is it possible to say implicitly she was not Makabel Shabbos with the bracha in the event that the lights went out? Is that possible that you could suggest that?
She did a nice job lighting the candles, though. So why would that?
Right, she did a nice job lighting the candles, but she didn't drive any hanach from them yet. So, she didn't drive any hanach from them yet, and you said that they went out, and then you had said the bracha. So the kura, you didn't get hana with them, you know. So maybe it's implicit that you were makabel Shabbos with the bracha. So maybe relight it quick. Maybe relight it quick. Here is Shiloh, and Nate should ask a good Shiloh. An Ashkenazic woman that lit the candles, then said the bracha, and then the candles went out. What would you do in that case? I think you're done. I think you were yotze.
Yeah? Even though you're not?
Even though you didn't get any hana, you're saying. Let me think about it. Maybe you can't do anything. Maybe you're done and you did your obligation. You can't light anymore because you're Makabel Shabbos, no? You were Makabel Shabbos. No? Unless you say implicitly you were Makabel Shabbos knowing that the candles still are lit and you derive Hana. Maybe you could say that. Let me think about it. It's risky though. It's the 12 Shabbos. What?
Why do they even be a bracha about Hanala? Because you're going to open your eyes and it's not there. Which means you're going to say a broken shame right away as soon as you see that it's not there. And
right.
So
well, what about Shabbos?
That nullifies the whole entire action. And now think on Shabbos. You're saying broken shame, that whole thing.
Does Baruch Shem, Rumafreya say you didn't say a bracha or just Misakin? There's two ways to learn Baruch Shem. Does it Rumafreya fix it or is it just Misakin? There's two ways to learn it. Let me look into the Shiloh, Nate. You're a good Shiloh. I'm not sure. But let's just shift with this and then forget this. We've got a big Shiloh. We've got a lot of Gemara we've got to learn. So we have Kashi last week. The Shavua writes on Yontif. What do you do on Yontif? You light candles from a pre-existing flame, like from a pilot light or a Yorkshire candle. What do you do in that case? I have Yorkshire for my father on this Thursday night and Friday. We don't have shear that day, so why don't you give a shear load for example issues? Also, I'll tell you between me and you, you're supposed to only do it with Tzarf Mitzvahs. And you keep it between us. The Shabur says you're supposed to keep it quiet, but the Tzarf Mitzvah you're allowed to. The Ramah says in Jordan, you're supposed to fast on the Yorkshire. So I do better fast on the Yorkshire for my father-in-law too as well. In general, if somebody asks you're fasting, you can not lie and can say yes, but you shouldn't tell people because it minimizes the reward, which the Buddha says for my sin. But for mitzvah purposes, of educational, you're allowed to. That means the mitzvah before the kindness, you have to accept upon yourself that paragraph. Think the net is you're going to fast the next day. It's hard because you got to, this year is even harder because you have to fast going into Shabbos. Okay, but nonetheless, the Shavua says you're allowed to light candles from an existing flame, Yahrzeit candle, or because a lot of people light Yahrzeit candles and Yom Tov because of Yisra, right? So, you're allowed to light candles from an existing flame. A woman should first recite the bracha and then light the candles in order that her bracha is fully over Las Yasin. So you hear that? In other words, you're allowed to light candles from the pre-existing flame. So it's already there, the flame. So what do? You say a bracha before you light the pre-existing flame. Magen Rav argues as well, plu. You always light and then recite the bracha. But there are lachas, the maskakalach, the inside of the Magen would hold the same way if a woman wants to deny not to accept Shabbos with candle light. They want to drive to the kosher, or if a man is lighting candles and does not accept Shabbos, wants to drive to shul with the lachas. In both of these cases, what do you do? They should first light and then recite the bracha. Why? Why should you first light and then recite the bracha? Because why? It's a low clue. No matter what, this is what you do. The light and then the bracha, and then you get on up. However, it seems that the bracha sides with the Kinegar, who says that in these cases of a woman lighting with the Tanai and a man with man lighting as well like Yom Tov, it is best to first recite the bracha and then light. Okay, interesting, because you're not igniting a flame on Yom Tov. It's from pre-existing, so you don't have that concern. So why shouldn't you go like the regular order? Okay? That's a big major machlokes and Yom Tov. So your Shabbos poskens, like Rabbi Kinegar, that a man should recite the bracha before lighting the Shabbos candles, because it's implicit that he's not makabel Shabbos drive to shul. And in Siman Mem Daled Sif Hot Yifas, it's similarly concerning Yom Tov, that a woman should ignite the match and recite the bracha before lighting the candles. Okay, what do you ignite the match? What does that mean, ignite the match? Meaning you put the match in the candle. You're not striking it new. And recite the bracha before lighting as a Schechter and Rav Asher Weiss, also possible in the Judaizers. That's interesting. So you got that? So do you change up the order on Yom Tov or not? The Magen Rav says you never do. Keep it always the same. And who argues on this? Rabbi Kinegar and the Mishabura and the Shabbat Shabbos, they all go with the Kinegar, and you do switch up the order halacha l'maisa. Okay, this is the finish of this deal. We should understand things that we do l'maisa that are done every day l'maisa. And we think that we know them. Okay, past the food is the following, then we got a break. Yes?
It also serves as a good example of the fact of working Golos and
the actual lighting?
Something even with the lighting, that it's like a siman in and of itself, that you have to switch up the order.
Okay. But some don't even light. You know, some people don't even light Yom Tov Sheni. Some people don't even light at all on Yom Tov Sheni at all. Some people don't light at all.
Even if they have access to a flame?
Yes. But our meaning is that we do. Okay, now what happens if you're away from home? What if you're away from home? The Biralocha says the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles gives two facets. You know, we could say it like this. Is it a few of Hefzer or is it a few of Gavra? Is it on the house or is it on the Gavra? The first, the few of Hefzer requires you have light in your house for showing bias, so you don't trip and bump into things. The second, a quasi few of Gavra requires every family to light candles for covenant holding Shabbos to show respect for Shabbos. However, the second obligation to be fulfilled by someone else is lighting for you, such as your wife, even if you're not in the same condition. So you have a house. So you light it up at the few tests. You've gotten your wife, of course. Now, if you were alive 500 years ago and traveling to a friend's house in a different village, but your wife is lighting you back at home, you only need to light a candle with the broth in the room that you're staying for purpose of show buys, so you don't bump into things that aren't worth trip on them. However, your obligation to light in the public shop is fulfilled by your wife lighting at home. The good Shawnee Hoskins, that even if she's in a different time zone, wow, you are still Yotze, you're a Yotze, even if she's in a different time zone, Allah Lamai, so you are what? You're Yotze, your obligation, although there are those who argue on it. Moreover, even the obligation to light for shalom bayis in your home only applies if the owner of the home designated that room for you, and you will not use it. But if he's also using the room for his own personal needs, keeping some of his belongings there, there will most likely already be a light on therein and for his own benefit. Therefore, if the even if the owner has not lit a light in your room, and you are lighting a candle there for shalom bayis, so you don't bump into things, you would not recite a bracha. So if you're a guest at someone's home, and you're in the bedroom, if he gives you permission, you should really light in the room. If he's not going to come in the room at all, he's going to come in the room, then you don't have to. Well, nice, because the stomach, what? Stomach is using it, what? Even if the owner has not lit the light in the room, you're lighting a candle for shalom bayis, you don't recite a bracha. The reason for this is because the hosts are obligated to light a candle in every room they wish to use. But they do not register a bracha for these rooms because the bracha of the light in the dining room exempts all the rooms in the house. Thus, because the host will be using your room on Shabbos, and it's his responsibility to have a candle in there for shalom bayis, you do not recite a bracha in lighting because the bracha of the host's wife exempts your room. However, if the host gives you sole access to your room, and you will not be coming in and will not use it all during Shabbos, the bracha of the host does not exempt your room. So it depends whether the host is using what? Depends whether the host is using your room or not. If he's not using your room, you have an obligation to say the bracha. If he's using your room, then the bracha of the wife who sat on the whole house counts for everything. Obviously, you got to ask permission because you don't want to start a fire, right? When you're staying in a bedroom, you know, maybe the guy doesn't want to have a candle with him. You got to ask him. Maybe electric, depends on what we said yesterday. But if it's plugged in, it's not good. It's got to be on a battery. Remember we said it's got to be on a battery? Why does it have to be on a battery? It's not plugged into the wall. Because why? You're getting electricity from, it keeps going from the power plant every second. So therefore, you want to use electric, that's fine, but it's got to be a battery. Okay, let's break here. Here's Omar McClendon, these guys. Okay? Let's start from the Iqbar there on Volvo Manal. If you got cash, you let me know. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.